Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante, and after a couple weeks, we've got back Steve Pavlik. Steve, how you doing?
Pretty good, Jim. How you been?
Been very good. Have you and the little guys enjoyed this warm weather that you had over the weekend?
Trying to. They're upstairs napping right now, so try to tire them out earlier after church.
That's the way to do it. It has been a couple weeks since we've been together. So I want to bring up a topic we've talked about a couple times here on the show, but I haven't had the chance to talk to you about it. And this was the decision that came a couple weeks ago. We have now West Shore home field at Beaver Stadium. Steve, I'm sure you have a reaction to that.
Well, I do. I guess I should preface this. Just a reminder, like, I actually didn't graduate from Penn State. Just to be clear, I graduated from Georgetown for undergrad and Virginia for grad school. So, you know, people can factor that in, I guess, to my opinion. But just to confirm my understanding, you had a board member on, Barry.
Yes, Barry Fenchak. Yes.
They just basically sent this to the board, like, in the middle of the night, like, before everything had already been baked. Is that – that was my understanding of Barry's conversation.
Well, the way Barry explained it, when they have a meeting coming up – they have rules that say they've got to inform the rest of the board about it so many hours prior, so many days prior. And they scheduled a meeting for a Monday morning. They chose to inform the board all Friday night leading into the weekend. And I don't know exactly how they message everybody, but when you lay someone out the information Friday night for Monday morning, no matter how you shake it, that's pretty late as far as letting them know.
Right. And so that was my understanding, that basically the implication was that the decision had already been made at that point. Is that fair to say?
Well, I think, and not to get too carried away in the weeds, but I think this board and in different companies in private industry, which is what you and I are more familiar with, a board of trustees or a board, the company itself, people may be, they are running it, they're making decisions, but they'll have to go to a board just essentially for the blessing. Yep, okay, fine, we trust you to do those things. That seems to be the way this board definitely works. It's the administration, maybe some representatives from the board. Yep, they put together a conclusion, a decision, and it appears they look to the whole board to rubber stamp a decision that's already been made.
Mm-hmm. And it was $50 million for 15 years?
Yes.
Right. And I thought you did a good job explaining, like, when you do the real present value of the money, the amount's not nearly as impressive. But is that fair?
That is correct, because it'll be received over 15 years. Now, far be it for me to defend this board, okay, but to understand, this is typical in, like, naming rights. And I think people, they get tired of me bringing up examples with baseball because I know it so well. The New York Mets have an arrangement with Citibank. Their field is called Citi Field. And they actually receive $20 million a year for 20 years. So in total, it's a $400 million deal. And I'm sure they get it annually over the 20 years. They're not getting a $400 million check on day one. So I think it's pretty standard to present it the way they did. Hey, we're receiving $50 million over 15 years, which is an accurate, it's a true statement.
And also, just to be clear, that they never considered the option of naming it Paterno Field and did a cost analysis or an analysis of what revenue may be brought in to support an effort like that. Is that fair?
See, I think that's the correct question, Steve, here is the debate is, should they have named it Paterno Field? And people think that for a couple different reasons, the two basic ones being, first of all, to honor Joe Paterno, which I think a lot of people, even the majority of Penn Staters, feel is appropriate. The other argument is, gee, if we had run a campaign to raise money, to name at Paterno Field, could we have not actually raised more money that way? The issue is, did they even try? And I think the answer to that question is no, they did not.
Right. And so I just want to make sure I understood everything correctly. And I guess my first sort of reaction is something that President Kennedy said, to, I guess, about his book, Profiles in Courage. You know, the reason it had so few chapters was it's so rare that people actually do the right thing when it may be at expense of their own personal benefit. I mean, I think the board's just by not even attempting to provide a fig leaf here. You could have done a study. There are lies, damn lies in statistics. I think that quote's attributable to Mark Twain. You could have said, we looked at a study of what naming Paterno Field would have been, and we sort of concluded that this was the more attractive option. Now, you could have manipulated that study. It's easy to do. But the fact that they didn't even do that, to me, just suggests that they view this as inconvenient. They're just hoping this goes away. And I just wonder, one, I mean, I think a lot of people would have probably contributed to that. So I still question whether or not you would have raised more money naming it Paterno Field. I think there's some questions about the timing. You know, people I've heard say, well, you know, in 15 years, maybe they'll do the right thing. But the right thing to do would be to do it now while Mrs. Paterno's around. Okay, so you could recognize that and attempt to address what you've done to that poor woman and the legacy of her husband. I mean, to me, it's a bigger issue where there's just been a desire to try to run away from that legacy, which I don't really understand. I think it's one that you should be proud of and you should try to embrace it personally. And my guess is there are probably a lot of people who feel the same way I do. I don't know whether it's a majority, but I think it's probably a very significant number. And you talk about NIL right now and the needing to raise money. Why you would want to try to alienate and divide your fan base by just ignoring this? I really don't understand that. So I guess if I had to sum it up, I would say disappointed, not surprised. That's really, I guess, the most succinct way I can do it. I guess that's sort of how my reaction to it.
Well, I'm going to play devil's advocate here, just because I agree with your assessment, Steve. I do. Here's why. Not that I support this side, but I will express it. I think what you have is a situation here. It's unprecedented what happened 12 years ago. And by unprecedented, I'm not talking about the actual crime or the incident. I'm talking about the media reaction to it and what they did. Okay. And there are a lot of people, you mentioned, you know, you're upsetting half the base or splintering it. The fact is, probably if you didn't name it Paterno Field, you would probably upset another group of the fan base. Okay. I happen to think the supporters of Paterno outnumber the detractors, but I think that would happen. I believe also the other part to this is you have in alignment a coach, an athletic director, and a president of the university who have no personal attachment to Joe Paterno. They were not, none of them were here when Paterno was here. And I think there's a general feeling, not just among those three, but also some of the members of the board, whether you bring out the statue, you name the field, you do any of those things, you are going to have to face a backlash. And to support that point, a year ago, one of the board members brought it up about doing the naming the field after Joe Paterno. And there was national backlash, okay? Now, because they didn't do it, and it was tabled right away, it wasn't this huge, monstrous backlash. But I read articles that were, how dare they even think to do this? So I think that's the argument on the other side, Steve. I don't agree with it, but I think that's the argument.
Well, I'll say you shouldn't let what a bunch of idiots on ESPN and the media say about you dictate and tell you what to do, as opposed to doing the right thing. Okay. I think about while people like me, who have no real, I guess, ties to Penn State, but feel a very strong allegiance to the school because of the program. And the program is really defined by Coach Paterno. I mean, you go back to success with honor. Yeah, it was a smart move on his part from a branding perspective. He's not an idiot. He graduated from Brown. He knew the decision makers for a lot of these recruiting visits were the parents, but he also put his money where his mouth is, contributing there to that library. And then the on-field product, the brand. I mean, Penn State under Paterno, you had tough kids who were overachievers, guys that were there to get an education, and that really gave you something to be proud of. And yeah, you know, they might come up short sometimes when they played some more talented teams physically, but, you know, they weren't going to get pushed around. And, you know, I just think, you know, Bobby Bowden talked about the football program being the front porch to your university. And it's hard for me to imagine anybody who did more for Penn State than Coach Paterno. And the idea that you'd want to run away from that, to me, every other school, I would think, would give anything to have something like that to try to latch on to. I know some of the new athletic director, Coach Franklin, some of the board members, they might not have been around during that time. And that's sort of a difficult spot for them. But again, I just wonder why you want to run away from this as opposed to try to embrace something that I think you should be proud of. And again, don't let a bunch of weenies at ESPN tell you what to think.
And I get that. And one of my colleagues, and I'll repeat this multiple times already, Jeff Byers said, there's never the wrong time to do the right thing. And I think that it's a valid point. And if you truly believe the things that we're talking about, and the one other point to it, Steve, is I wish at some point earlier, some of those people on the board, and there's a handful of them who support this idea, along with several other people, would have gathered pledges. Like, okay, so you got, you know, a little over $3 million per year for 15 years for a total of $50 million. We have pledges for 70, 80, 90 million if we would name it Paterno Field. Now justify it not doing it.
Absolutely. They didn't do that because they didn't want to have a conversation. It was inconvenient for the people in power. And you could have created it like a trust. Okay. You could have brought in a large money and then sort of earned a return on that sum over a large number of years. And again, you probably would have made more money if you did that. So disappointing, not surprising.
And obviously there are people who supported the idea of Paterno Field. I think they could have gone out and done it. And maybe in hindsight, they wish that they had and found out how much money they could have gathered by naming it Paterno Field. All right, Steve, that's it. We used one segment for the field topic. You know what? We've got several other topics to go. Stick with us. Spring football is almost here. Are you looking for a great place to stay in Happy Valley for that weekend? GoPSU RV has an RV for you. Drive your own car there. The RV is ready and waiting for you. A shuttle bus will take you to and from the game. No hassle with parking. Rates start as low as $750 for the weekend, and you get a $250 discount for the fall. Check out GoPSURV.com or call 800-519-8467.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Steve Pavlik. I'm Jim Galante. This is quarter number two of our show. Steve, wide receiver is obviously a major topic of conversation when you talk to any Penn State football fan over the last couple of years and going forward. And I was kind of waiting for this. Trey Wallace, who, by the way, I got to point out, I'm a big Trey Wallace fan. I think he's a terribly talented, I shouldn't use the word terrible, I think he's a greatly talented player who could do a lot of things. I'm not sure Penn State used him to the best of his ability, but anyway, he chose to transfer for his last year of eligibility, and he ended up going to Ole Miss, and he was finally asked, he was exposed to the media with the question, why the change, why Ole Miss? And his answer, and I'm quoting here, I wanted to take a chance on myself this last year and find a passing offense that where passing would be their number one focus. To his point, the numbers support him. If you compare Ole Miss's passing game with Penn State's, wanted to get your reaction.
Well, was it Keandre Lambert-Smith that left for Auburn the year before and sort of took a shot at Aller? So I thought, you know, to his credit, he didn't do that, which I guess is encouraging. I don't know that anything he said should be really surprising. I mean, Penn State's credit, you play to your strength. You have two world-class running backs. So for them to sort of lean into that, I think makes sense from an offensive schematic approach. I think from, you know, his perspective, you want to go to play for a guy like Kiffin, where offense is going to center around the passing game. And I guess my fear is that, you know, Penn State sort of struggled to really identify some top talent so far in the portal for the wide receiver, that other receivers are probably concluding the same thing, where, you know, does it make sense for me to go, maybe not get as many reps to Penn State, where it's going to be more of a run emphasis. And that's just sort of how I guess my initial thoughts to it.
I agree. And first of all, some of those numbers, and I'm just using last year, and remember, Jackson Dart is not going to be returning to Ole Miss, so I'm using his numbers. But his average passing game, he threw for 329 yards per game. Drew Aller threw for 208 yards per game. Now, you got to factor in that Dart threw the ball 30 times. Drew Aller threw it 24 times a game. So a significant, that's 25% more throws from the Ole Miss offense. The other part to this is Ole Miss did not have a tight end like Tyler Warren. And I think you got to say credit Tyler Warren, as he was, forget the label of tight end versus wide receiver. Let me just call them all receivers. Penn State had an all-world receiver who happened to be a tight end who was getting a good number of the looks. So when you're already having limited passes, only 24 per game, and you have a tight end who's going to be the leading target, it's going to be tougher for a wide receiver to get the numbers that they want. And going forward into this coming year, let's face it, if you have Catron Allen and Nick Singleton as your pair of running backs, you're certainly going to lean on them quite a bit again.
Well, and I think there's talent still at the tight end position. I know, you know, Tyler Warren's moving on, wish him the best. But, you know, from a matchup standpoint, I mean, common sense tells me, well, why wouldn't I throw it to the guy who's like 6'7 and 270 pounds and can jump out the gymnasium? Okay, chances are he's probably going to come down with the ball. You know, so I guess, you know, I sort of understand Wallace wanting to move on. I don't think he said anything that kind of isn't obvious. But again, the fear for me is, okay, if that's sort of obvious to everybody else, then what hope is there to really attract some significant talent in the portal to come here and maybe, you know, change the equation?
Well, I think this thing is, you do have to keep bringing in the talent. I believe, and James Franklin brought this up, you know what? There were a lot of throws, a lot of targets to Tyler Warren last year. Those targets have to go somewhere else this year, okay? Where are they going to go to? You mentioned there's still more talent at tight end. Yes, there is. There's a couple talented running backs who will probably factor into the passing game also. But there is room for a wide receiver to excel if they show they have that ability. So it's kind of like, you know, in basketball, if you got five all-stars out there, but you only have one ball, it could only, you know, there's only so many shots for a team. So that's, I think, a factor in this. And you also have, I feel obligated to bring up, when we're talking about would a talented receiver come here, Penn State, now it's class of 27, just this weekend got a commitment from Khalil Taylor, very good wide receiver. In fact, I think he's listed as an athlete or an all-purpose back, but he was recruited as a wide receiver to Penn State. So there's a situation where, yeah, they can bring talent here. They've got to show that they can bring it in and they can develop it, though, too, Steve.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because if you didn't, I was. I think the issue is the lack of development recently. And you got a lot of coaching changes there. So, you know, I think that's going to be the thing to watch moving forward now is can Marcus Higgins sort of take a step forward now. So, like, here's some of the guys that he's brought in, if he can show some development. And that's a great thing about low expectations. You know, you have a way to make a lot of people happy. And I think in some ways, maybe that benefits him this year, sort of take some of the pressure off. People aren't expecting much. And if you can go out and exceed those low expectations, then maybe you have a foundation to move forward.
And there's also the situation of in college football, success at a position breeds success. Okay. To me, nationally, the best example is wide receivers at Ohio State. If you're a really, really good wide receiver, that's where you're going to go, okay? And because they've been so good, they will keep attracting more good wide receivers. Penn State, tight end you mentioned. They've been so successful, it's going to keep drawing in more tight ends.
Running back.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up running back, because I think it's also fair to mention that Penn State had two commitments for running backs, very good running backs over the next 2 years, 26 and 27, Messiah Minkins and Spell from 27. They both running backs were flirting with other places to go visit, specifically Notre Dame with Juwan Sider. And both running backs announced that they're cutting off their recruiting. They're not looking to visit anywhere else. So those are recruiting successes. Again, there's a long time between now and commitment day. But the fact that they're doing that, I'm taking a long way of saying, how do you turn it around? And the best example at Penn State, I like to think, is the offensive line, where just a couple years ago, we were talking about them the way we're now talking about wide receiver. But you brought in Coach Troutwine. He started recruiting better, developing better. All of a sudden, Steve, we talk about the offensive line as a position of strength and maybe the best position group on the team.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've identified it. I mean, the thing with the running backs, to me, I think Penn State can really point to is the fact that they were able to keep both Singleton and Allen happy. And the idea that you can come here and have limited carries and still be fresh and attractive to the NFL. So you talk about, you know, how can you recruit, you know, two really talented running backs, you know, either in the same class or a year apart. The fact that you have that track record to me is encouraging moving forward. But I think you're right. You know, it's now up to Higgins. Can you have some stability at the coaching position? Actually keep somebody there for a while. I think that's important because then it's up to them to actually recruit to the skills that they're looking for. And then they have developed. Ultimately, they have to produce. And if Higgins can do that this year, then maybe that's the next domino to fall.
I hope it is. And I'm glad you brought up, you know, with the running back situation, how they were able to share the load and it's still very attractive. It's probably the same argument they make at Ohio State about their wide receiver room. And I think what you saw is with, again, mentioning development, that Troutwine didn't just all of a sudden start bringing in five-star talent on the offensive line. He was developing the talent they had, recruiting better, all of those things. And no one's 100% hits on their recruiting, but he was able to turn all that around, and now there's stability there at offensive line. And if you recall, when Troutwine first got here, the first year or two, there was already, he didn't turn it around fast enough for some people. So, you know, the question is Higgins the right guy? You just need to be a little patient. Is that the case?
Well, we hope. I mean, look, you're at a year this season where you're almost national championship or bust. I mean, let's be honest, those are the expectations. So, you know, patience is probably at a premium. But yeah, I think long-term of the program, maybe it's another year or two, but we just had so much churn at the wide receiver coach position. You keep referencing Ohio State, maybe Brian Hartline. I mean, that was a successful receiver in his own right, NFL pedigree, and obviously did a tremendous job developing them there. You know, we'd be lucky to have something similar at Penn State at that position.
Yes. And I feel it's important to point out that at just about every other position group, the position coach, I believe, are very highly thought of. You know, Juwan Sider moved on, but you brought in quite the reputation coming in. You know, Troutwine and Tyler Howell at tight end, and on the defensive side of the ball. I think wide receiver is the only place where we're questioning the position and questioning the coach.
And that's a near-term phenomenon. It's not like this is something that's plagued Franklin throughout. The offensive line really was until Troutwine, until recent play, where you're just sort of like, why is this a constant concern for Penn State? Wide receiver, Penn State's developed a lot of great wide receivers under Franklin. They just haven't done so the last few years. And so now you're sort of wondering, like, well, what's going wrong? And you sort of point to maybe some of the coaching changes as maybe the only thing that I can see from a fan perspective that explains it.
And sometimes it's tough because you are caught in that cycle. At running back, boy, things have been going well. At offensive line, it wasn't, and you were able to change it over. Now the question is, can you take this wide receiver position and change it over? It's been going in the wrong direction, a negative direction. Do you have the right coach? Don't know. But this year is kind of a year. Yes, I know they're going to run the ball quite a bit, but that should open some things up, you know, Steve, for the wide receivers. I want to see a lot of play action passes, because I think if you're a defense, you got to be trying to stop the run. All right, that's it for quarter number two. Stick with us. More to go. Spring football is almost here. Are you looking for a great place to stay in Happy Valley for that weekend? Go PSU RV has an RV for you. Drive your own car there. The RV is ready and waiting for you. A shuttle bus will take you to and from the game. No hassle with parking. Rates start as low as $750 for the weekend, and you get a $250 discount for the fall. Check out gopsurv.com or call 800-519-8467.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing. Built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Steve Pavlik. It's quarter number three. Just want to let you know we're having a special guest on in the fourth quarter, and that is Mike Villagrana. He's the executive director of Happy Valley United. I was with Mike on Friday at Pro Day. Very cool day. A lot of fun. So we have him on in the fourth quarter. So this is the last segment for Steve and I. And Steve, I just want to give you the heads up, along with our listeners. Salty Jim is going to show up in this segment, okay? And you can probably guess where I'm headed. We had some of the talk now about the spring game, the blue-white game. James Franklin talked about it a little bit. And I don't want to throw James under the bus, because this is going on even more so in other schools. They're canceling the spring game, Steve, because they're afraid to get their team rated. Someone's going to watch a scrimmage and all of a sudden decide, hey, there's a good player. You know what? In this spring game, someone might see Nick Singleton and realize, oh, my goodness, he's pretty good. Would have never known that prior to this game. So to James's credit, there's still going to be a blue-white spring game, but they're going to shorten it. There may not be as much tackling. There'll be thud, which is, you know, contact, no tackling at certain points. Steve, that drives me crazy.
I mean, it's been on this trajectory for a while in terms of just dialing back what used to be like an actual scrimmage. Look, I don't know. Honestly, maybe we're on different sides on this for once. You know, I'll actually defend Franklin here a little bit in the sense. I know it's not something I do a lot, but in this instance, look, with NIL transfer portal, you know, I'd be surprised if Singleton's getting mini reps in this spring game. If he's doing that, then that's a mistake to begin with. But to your point, if you have a third or fourth string guy that's going out there and showing some things, yeah, I mean, there are roster spots to fill, and somebody might say, look, you come here and you play right away. I mean, you know, the idea that, you know, that's really like the sole motivation there, you know, that these things are televised, that people aren't just other coaches just sitting there watching all these spring games. I don't know. But I guess it's more of a concern that's been in the pre-transfer portal era.
I get that it's more, but still, Quentin Martin, okay, he's at best third string. But he was highly recruited. He's still very young with lots of eligibility left. If Quentin Martin does a good job in the spring game, it's not like another coach. It's a revelation that Quentin Martin is talented, okay? I knew that when he came out of high school. I don't need him to excel in a spring game. And, you know, my point here, Steve, is if somebody excels in the spring game and people will be attracted to that player, most likely it's the fifth string running back because that's the guy who gets all the carries and excels every year. You know, have we not seen that over and over again? The spring game MVP is some obscure walk-on.
Well, maybe that obscure walk-on gets a full ride somewhere else. You know, I don't know, and gets to play. I mean, I'm just saying in this era, you know, it is what it is. Maybe it's like the second string or third string, like defensive lineman or offensive lineman. You know, they go out there and they actually put something on tape where it's like, okay, now we can start to pull. I mean, what you're starting to see is just the lack of depth, I think, more at the line level. And, you know, that's sort of the concern. It's a long season. You're going to need that to step up. That was something that Penn State actually benefited from last year. So you know, I don't necessarily fault Franklin here, something I don't usually say, for being a little paranoid.
Well, I'll go after more of the other people, you know, like Matt Rule from Nebraska canceling his spring game. And it also, when these coaches, and James Franklin will talk about how valuable these 15 practices are that they get in the spring. One of the spring game counts as one of those 15. So why do you want to shorten it and waste that valuable time? And, you know, to your point, you mentioned, you know, Nick Singleton, if he plays, he'll get three carries or two or one. And you know what? I'm perfectly okay with that. I have no problem. I'll wait and see him in the fall, okay? I want to see Quentin Martin in the spring. I want to see Cam Wallace. I want to see Ethan Gronkmeyer. Those are the guys that I want to see. So why not? I would think it would be valuable to see those guys, the young players, the third who are currently third string, fourth string, give them a lot of time on the field. Let's see them play with something of a crowd at Beaver Stadium. I think that would be valuable to a coaching staff and far more valuable than that paranoia that everyone's coming to try to pilfer your team. And by the way, Steve, if you're choosing not to come up to the game this year, you're not going to see it because they're not allowing it to be televised. Sorry, Steve, if you're not in the central Pennsylvania area with an easy commute, Steve, you don't count. We don't care about you. We don't care enough about you to show you the game.
Well, I remember going up for the spring game, I think, when Zach Zwinnick broke his hand, and that sort of made me also think about, you know, the value of these things moving forward. I think, look, if you ask coaches, I think just didn't have to worry about a lot of the extracurriculars. A lot of them would just prefer to have another practice and have it closed to the media. I do agree with you that there is some sense or maybe some benefit to seeing how somebody reacts to a crowd in more of a game-like situation. But I think, you know, Franklin, whether he realizes it or was sort of told to realize it, recognizes that this is bigger than just a game. It's important for the community. You have a lot of activities going on. Spring game is sort of one of the draws for that. It's business. I mean, you have all the hotels being occupied and the restaurants and being filled as a result of the traffic coming there. I think, you know, for the community, it takes on a little bit more than that. And I think that's why he'll be obliged to continue to do put out some sort of product moving forward. Now, I won't be making up this year anyway because of my boys, but I'm hoping at some point to take them up there once they get a little older to enjoy some of the carnival activities.
I just hope that there'll actually be a game for your boys to attend. But if you are coming up for the spring game, this is a good time to mention our buddies over at GoPSURV.com. If you're looking for a place to stay for Blue White Weekend, they've got it. It's the greatest deal. You drive your car up. They've got an RV at the lot there ready and waiting for you. They have a shuttle from the lot to the ball game. It's fantastic. It's a fun, fun weekend. Again, that's gopsurv.com or call 800 519-8467. So now I'm salty about this, obviously. Okay. This bothers me. And not just James Franklin, obviously. I'm more upset about those other coaches are completely canceling the game, which I just don't get at all. It's totally forgetting about your fan base, okay? But, and here's a guy that I don't typically agree with, but Deion Sanders and Colorado, they and Syracuse, they wanted to run some joint practices like you see some of the NFL teams do, and then have a scrimmage with each other. Now, Steve, this is something I've been pushing for years. I thought the best spring game, if you're worried about your own depth, like Penn State should take on like a Villanova or someone like that and play just their third and fourth string guys. Give them a real opportunity to play against someone in a different uniform. And, you know, if you have a fear of your fourth string guys losing to Villanova, who cares? It was your fourth string guys. I think people are smart enough. But anyway, I'm getting off track. Syracuse and Colorado wanted to get together for a couple practices, then have a scrimmage. And the NCAA, in their infinite wisdom, said no, Steve. Is the NCAA ever going to do anything to benefit, whether it's the players, the fans, the coaches? That's the way you asked me the question, and I'm going to answer no, they do not.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to ask you. I can't think of a time where I can say the NCAA did anything that, one, I would agree with, or, two, that enhanced my experience as a fan. So I guess, again, going back to the analysis from the board decision, disappointing, not surprising. I think it's a great idea. We had that episode where I was a commissioner, and I actually, this was one of the things I proposed, to have, you know, sort of these inter-squad scrimmages. I think we generate a lot of enthusiasm. I think you have, what, Colorado in the Big 12, Syracuse in the ACC. These are two conferences struggling to remain relevant. The NCAA should try to do things to help these conferences retain some of the relevancy and get some attention. And of course, to no one's surprise, they got it wrong. It's easier to think of what they've gotten right, because I can't think of anything. So that's a more succinct answer.
Well, and here's something, it was a little bit thinking outside the box for these people. Okay. It's outside the box. And who's harmed by it? And unfortunately, I don't have in front of me the announcement that they made. I think I sent it to you. And their answers were just a bunch of crap. You know, what about the interference with their academics? Really? Really, NCAA? Who are you kidding there? Then it was also like, well, might it give them an unfair advantage? You know, other teams won't have that opportunity. My goodness, give them credit for coming up with the idea. They deserve to do it.
Absolutely. I mean, I guess where I'm wondering is, you start thinking ahead here, and the NCAA continues just to show while it is standing in the way of progress for many things, that if you're the Big Ten, the SEC, something to just pull away. If the NCAA is going to continue to be a problem, you know, let's just sort of break off and do our own thing. We don't need them. And I guess, you know, you think about money, because that's what's driving a lot of these decisions. People would watch that game. People would pay money to cover that scrimmage game. And that, again, that's a lost revenue opportunity when you start going conference consolidation. How do these lesser schools, or lower tier schools, I should say, you know, look for revenue streams if you're going to have fewer out-of-conference games? This is one avenue to do it. So, again, I think it's another NCAA example, just being short-sighted, not doing the right thing, to no one's surprise.
Exactly. I'm with you 1,000% on that one. Where's the harm in it? I see benefits. I don't see a downside to it at all, Steve. None at all. So, I wish they would have allowed it. I would have watched it. I would have watched Syracuse, Colorado. Too. So, anyway, all right. You know, that's going to be it for Steve. I know after just three quarters, coming up is Mike Villagrana from Executive Director of Happy Valley United. I was with Mike on Friday. It was Pro Day. Well, Steve, what a great experience. A lot of fun to see it. you know, to be when you're up close watching these guys compete, perform, whether it was in the weight room or where they were doing, you know, their 40s. KJ Winston, he ran the 40, which was really exciting to see. Good for him coming off the major knee injury. So that's Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of Happy Valley United, coming up right after this break.
Spring football is almost here. Are you looking for a great place to stay in Happy Valley for that weekend? Go PSU RV has an RV for you. Drive your own car there. The RV is ready and waiting for you. A shuttle bus will take you to and from the game. No hassle with parking. Rates start as low as $750 for the weekend, and you get a $250 discount for the fall. Check out gopsurv.com or call 800-519-8467.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. I got to stop calling you a guest now, Mike. You've become regular enough.
That's right, I'm right.
Executive Director, Happy Valley United. Mike Villagrana. Mike, how you doing?
Great. I'm excited about today. Got up early, around 4:30. Got here around 5. Got this place set up with state media. And excited about today. It's going to be a great day for us.
And, of course, what today means is pro day.
Pro day.
The
guys just trickled in from the weight room. They did vert height weights in the weight room. And then now they're coming out and they're doing broad jumps. They'll do the 40s, three-cone drill. And then they'll finish the day off with a couple workouts, and then that'll finish the day.
It's fantastic. This is my first time at Pro Day, okay? And it's literally the first time I was in the weight room to watch this, witness it.
Yeah.
My God, it's an incredible atmosphere.
Yeah. It's like a Taj Mahal now, even from my first stint here from 15 to 17. They were in the middle of a three-phase renovation. By the time I left, they were finishing that third phase. And so now to come back and it's renovated again, it's really impressive facility. It's up there with anybody in the country. And I can confidently say that. And so then when you have really talented players here, top 10 picks plus, another 7-8 guys that are going to be drafted, it brings a lot of excitement. When you have guys like Drew Rosenhaus here, all these big time agents, all scouts, multiple scouts from every organization here. It's exciting. It's really exciting. And, you know, from my standpoint, being in this space, you see all these scouts from school to school and you become pretty good friends with them. And that's everybody. So it's almost like a reunion. So it's like a really good vibe.
Do you know what I find fascinating? I saw a couple of the scouts over there and it's scout from the Giants talking with a scout from the Bengals.
Like, yeah,
they're old friends too.
Oh, they're all friends.
You know, I'm expecting them to be competitive.
No,
somehow,
at all. It's like a fraternity with those guys. They they have to go to schools multiple times a year, and when they go to the schools, a lot of times they run into each other and they go through the same car wash at every school. That's how they become to know each other that well. And like I said, it's like a big fraternity and they're all really good dudes.
Well, I got to meet a few of them Penn State, Ohio State game. First time up in the press box, it was like part of the room was reserved for the scouts. And I, of course, that's where I normally sat. So I sat there anyway. I don't think I was supposed to be there, but I ended up with some of the scouts. It was fascinating to talk to them just to get their perspective. But anyway, I'm getting off tangent now. Let's get back here. Pro Day, it's also exciting. You've got a couple guaranteed first round picks, maybe even a couple top 10 picks. Abdul obviously will. I'm seeing some projections that Tyler Warren may even be there.
Yeah.
So this day's a little different for them than it is for the other guys who might – they can actually make a difference in their career today.
No, absolutely. This day is huge for some of these guys and their future. Fortunately for like Tyler and Abdul, you know, they they have put themselves in a position where they don't have to work out, you know. So, you know, it's that game, count and ask, where you have to be smart. You know, do I need to run a 40? Do I need to do the vert? Well, some of those guys, the film is the film. You watch Abdul, you don't need to get a 40 for that guy, or a three cone, or a vert. So I think all he did today was a height weight. Tyler Warren, obviously proven on the field. So he, those guys are great, but these other guys that are kind of maybe projected third, fourth, fifth round, this day gives them an opportunity to maybe jump up to maybe the second round, late first, you know. But, and with that is a lot of guaranteed money, right? So, like, the lower you get drafted, the less amount of guaranteed money that you're going to be getting. So these things are huge for them, them in the future, in their first contracts in the NFL.
I think one of the most interesting guys here today is KJ Winston.
Yeah.
And we've already had some conversations, rumors about will he run or not run or do. And it goes back to what you're talking about being strategic. He's coming off an injury. He's only going to run if it makes sense for
yeah.
him.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And I think, you know, I wasn't here last year, and obviously he was out, but, you know, he was a highly regarded guy coming into the season last year. So I think this day's big. I think he's going to run. I'm not sure. I just heard that he's going to be running, so that could be a big thing for him. Really, really big. But I think regardless if he runs or not, I think the tape speaks for itself, and good character, just like all the other Penn State guys that come through here. So he'll be fine at the end of the day, but I'm excited to see him, and hopefully he runs well.
Well, my conversations with other players about him, and I think that's where you get the real truth of how it is.
Mm-hmm.
He's the first guy into training.
Yeah.
He's, you know, one of those guys, even as a young player, he's a leader and all that.
Yeah.
So I was, as a fan, disappointed in him not being able to play this past year. Hope he does well here.
Yeah.
Now, how's this for a segue? We're talking about this being a big day for the players.
Yeah.
How about this being a big day for Happy Valley United and some of the things that you were trying to implement since you came in?
Yeah, Jim, you know, we've been talking about this, and I've been talking about it at length since I've gone here in the middle of January. The pivot for HVU is going to be membership-driven, and we want to provide something good for the members and something attractive, and that's going to be content exclusiveness. You know, I polled and surveyed all of our memberships, current members, and ask them what they want. What are they looking to get from a content standpoint? And, you know, the behind-the-scenes stuff, first access to things. And now that I'm here in our partnership with Keystone Sports, State Media, and some other talents that we're going to have consistently flowing through HVU channels, it's going to bring that layer to the memberships that's going to provide something that's very attractive to Penn State fans. So we are going to be driven to really get memberships going, and we want to provide as much content as possible. We have a ton of great interviews today. I can't wait till this stuff comes out. We're going to be pumping things out all the time. Some things will be behind the paywall, some won't, but it's going to be awesome. This relationship with Keystone Sports, relationship with State Media, I think this is where collectives is going. I think if you look around the country at the top programs, this is kind of the lane that makes sense for collectives. You know, you got the house, the revenue share coming through. So it's important that the collective has a steady revenue too, to be additive to that. And so we need memberships. And I think what's really cool about it is that it's not just if you want to give a donation, you're just giving money to, you know, to the Excellence Fund, which is a great route to go. But if you want to do something different and it has power behind it, give money to be a sponsorship with one of our events, right? We have these great events, but that really helps to cut the cost on these events. And then if we can cut the cost on the events, then we can raise more money for the players. And that's what it's all about, right? Is raising money for the players. And what we're doing is we're getting them out there in front of the companies. We want to get local businesses involved to sponsor a lot of these interviews. So I think from here, moving forward, I think the ceiling is very high. And I'm very excited about it. I'm very excited the people I'm working with, you, Jim, working with Hack, working with all the different personalities, Brian Tripp, I mean, we have a really talented team, and I think everybody sees that this platform has a lot to give, and it's going to be fun.
It definitely, and today is actually an example of it. And I could already say, with you, first of all, you're like the king around here. You just go wherever you want, and you're able. No. Yeah, come on.
No.
And I see as you're walking around, people are coming up, talking to you. But like, hey, you throw a vest on me, and we walk into the weight room, and the access there, and we talked about it. For me, that was fun, the access, and I started talking to you about, I don't know what they call the wall with the records.
Yeah, the records, all the weight room records.
And I said, I was just totally fascinated by that. And one thing we've already talked about doing that is doing a tour of that, doing the video of it, and giving our listeners and members that kind of behind the scenes look, kind of a peek behind the curtain.
Yeah.
I think it's also important to point out, you mentioned, you know, having Hack here today. Of course, that's Christian Hackenberg.
Yeah.
He's with State Media.
Yeah.
And he's doing some of these interviews here. So this is, you know, a lot of fun. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So let's start with this for, as far as access to this, where could people find these things in the next week or so, get an idea of what it's about?
Yeah.
So some of these pro day interviews.
Yeah, so that's a great question. So a couple of things. So the content that we're going to be producing, we are going to about to roll out a new app, and it's going to have the hub where you can find all this content. You know, this exclusive content will be all centered around that hub on the app, as well as the website, Happy Valley United website.
Which is happyvalleyunited.com.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Okay.
So all of that will live under there, as well as like State Media or whoever that personality is. They'll have that on their channels as well. But we'll be pumping this stuff through our channels, our social media platforms. And I think it's going to be really good. I think, like, I take it for granted, probably, like, to your point, like, the access here. You know, like, we joke sometimes because, you know, this place is like getting in the Pentagon sometimes. So the access is going to be really, really neat to see how fans react to that when we're giving them access to like stuff like this pro day, you know, all the other different kind of events that we're going to do. So I'm really excited about it. It's pretty neat. All the people that I know here, it's like a mixture of when I was here the first round. So I made some really good relationships with some people here. And then I'm starting to build a ton of new relationships with the people that I haven't met yet. But the thing that's consistent is Penn State people, and the people that Coach Franklin and the administration have hired are just good people. So it's pretty easy for me to create relationships. And, you know, maybe you never know where that'll stem, you know, what people will help you do.
Now, you mentioned the app. Has that been released yet?
So we're going to release that today.
Okay.
You'll see that come through from State Media, and you'll see that come through from our social media platforms.
Okay, that's fantastic. Is there a name for it? So by the time you and I, this gets broadcast, it's okay. We can call somebody else in here.
Jamie Leota is basically our Swiss Army knife. I don't know. Jamie, can you talk on the app?
So right now it's called H4U Connect. It was just called Happy Valley United a few weeks ago, but we made some new adjustments and updated the app, so it's running a little bit better now. It should come up under Happy Valley United or H4U Connect, so either one of those, you should be able to find it, and we're going to launch this thing and get rolling soon.
All right, thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, no, thank you.
And
we appreciate it.
Looking forward to this joint venture.
Yeah, heck
can't
yeah.
Wait. Thanks, guys.
It's going to be awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Spring football is almost here. Are you looking for a great place to stay in Happy Valley for that weekend? Go PSU RV has an RV for you. Drive your own car there. The RV is ready and waiting for you. A shuttle bus will take you to and from the game. No hassle with parking. Rates start as low as $750 for the weekend, and you get a $250 discount for the fall. Check out gopsurv.com or call 800-519-8467.